chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Going to start reading from verse 1. Our couples are getting together on Saturday, June 22nd, for just a time of fun and fellowship, and perhaps you'd like to join them. You can sign up after the service today. Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 1. I want to talk to you for a few minutes about church, wind, and fire. Church, wind, and fire. Acts, Valerie, I'm glad the humor is not lost on you. Church, wind, and fire. Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 1. The Bible says in Acts 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like a blowing violent wind came from heaven and filled the house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they said, "Aren't these all who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Let's pray and invite the Holy Spirit to speak to us this morning. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the people you love so much. Thank you for your presence with us. Father, thank you for your powerful word. Your word is truth. I pray that each one of us would encounter you as we receive your word this morning. If your heart agrees, would you say amen and amen. So a pastor's wife came home from shopping one afternoon with a new $300 dress. When she showed it to the pastor, he said, "Honey, I told you, money is very tight right now. What happened?" She said, "I know, honey, the devil made me do it. I thought I would just try on the dress, but when I did, a little voice whispered in my ear, 'You look great in that dress.'" The pastor said, "I've told you before what to do in that situation. You have to say, 'Get thee behind me, Satan.'" She said, "I tried that, but then the little voice said to me, 'It looks great on you from the back, too.'" As we started 2019, we shared for a few weeks about HTC, Who Are We? And we talked about some of the core beliefs that unite us as a church family. For the next couple of weeks, I want to share with some thoughts with you called HTC 4. What are we here for? For what purpose did God call our church family into existence? What work does God have for us to do here in Greenwich, Connecticut, and in this region? What do we stand for, and what value are we here to add to people's lives? One thing that we're here for is for fire. When God called Pastor Ray and Patty Tate to Greenwich, Connecticut in 1983, their purpose was to start a Spirit-filled church. God ordained Harvest Time to be a place where people can experience the fire of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to talk about that for a few minutes, and then we're going to pray, and we're going to invite the Holy Spirit to come. Today is Pentecost Sunday. And I want to share with you for a few minutes what happens when we are filled with the Holy Spirit. What is it that we receive? What do we experience? Let's talk for just a minute about this Jewish feast called Pentecost. You know, the Bible says that everything God does, he does well. Everything God does is calculated. Everything God does is divinely orchestrated for maximum impact. Everything God does is carefully thought out. It's carefully planned. It's carefully prepared in advance. Everything God does is skillfully executed. Everything we read about in the New Testament was predicted in the Old Testament through explicit prophecies, sometimes through events that were foreshadowing, that were pictures of what was to come. Luke writes that when the sun was fully up on the morning of Pentecost, suddenly there was the sound of a mighty tornadic wind. You know, for the 120 believers that were gathered in the upper room, it happened suddenly, but it wasn't sudden to God. Before God ever created the universe, before he ever spoke the planets into existence, this event recorded in Acts chapter 2 was conceived in the divine mind of God and written down on his calendar. What is Pentecost? It is one of three Jewish feasts where pilgrims are invited to come to Jerusalem to celebrate. The other two pilgrim feasts are Passover and the Feast of Tabernacles. On those three occasions, everyone who can make it to Jerusalem is encouraged to get to Jerusalem. The Jewish people called it the Feast of Weeks because it happened 7 weeks after the Passover. A week of weeks, seven sevens. Those numbers are significant in the Bible. In Greek, it's called Pentecost because it started on the 50th day. Penta means 50. Pentecost was also called by the Jewish people the Feast of First Fruits. It was held at the very beginning of the wheat harvest. Very interesting that the Feast of Pentecost drew the largest crowds to Jerusalem of all three of the pilgrim feasts. And the reason for that is because the weather was the best in late spring, and it was the best for traveling from all over the Mediterranean to Jerusalem. So I want you to understand that God was very strategic sending the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. It was symbolically strategic because the Feast of First Fruits turned out to be the beginning of a global harvest that Jesus said would occur when the Holy Spirit came. And it was also practically strategic because God chose to pour out his Holy Spirit on the church on the one day of the entire year when there were more people in Jerusalem than at any other time. For 10 days, the followers of Jesus had been holed up in the upper room where they celebrated the Last Supper with Jesus. Suddenly, in the streets of Jerusalem, there was the sound of a tornadic wind. 2019 has been one of the most active tornado seasons in the history of our country. Over 1,000 tornadoes reported this spring, and over 800 of those confirmed. 38 deaths, billions of dollars of property damage. You know, whenever people are interviewed on the news who were eyewitnesses to tornadoes, they always say the same thing. They say it sounded like a freight train coming through. I believe that that was the sound that they heard in the streets of Jerusalem. But why this noisy wind? What was the significance of that event? Well, the noisy wind was a supernatural sign that God was doing something new in the world through the person of the Holy Spirit. Do you know the Hebrew word for the Holy Spirit means wind? Holy Spirit in Hebrew literally is the holy wind. To the Jewish people, wind was a symbol of the resuscitating, renewing, recreating, rejuvenating work of God. God gave the prophet Ezekiel a vision of a valley of dry bones. And the bones came together, and then God told Ezekiel to prophesy to the breath and say to the breath, come from the four winds and breathe into these dead so that they might live. God goes on to explain that this is a picture of his own people. And he says in Ezekiel 37, 14, tell my people, I will put my spirit in you and you will live. Talking to Nicodemus, Jesus used the wind as a metaphor for his recreating, resuscitating, rejuvenating work by which we become born again. Now, this is something interesting. According to the tradition of the rabbis, on the morning of Pentecost, the scribes in the temple were reading aloud from Ezekiel chapter 1. Do you know what it says in Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 4? And I looked, and behold, a windstorm came from the north with an immense cloud flashing with fire, surrounded by a great light. The center of the fire looked like glowing metal. So according to the tradition of the rabbis, when the sun was fully up on the day of Pentecost, this is the scripture that was being read in the temple, and suddenly in the streets of Jerusalem, there was the sound of a mighty rushing wind. It was God's way of signaling that he was doing something new by the person of the Holy Spirit. Beloved, I want to tell you, 2,000 years later, it's still true. When we experience the infilling of the Holy Spirit, God does something new inside of us, and then he does something new through us. What happens when we're filled with the Holy Spirit? I want to share a few thoughts with you very quickly, and then we're going to pray. What happens when we're filled with the Holy Spirit? A few thoughts on Pentecost Sunday. First of all, when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we have a new experience of intimacy with God. When the Holy Spirit comes inside of us, we have a new experience of intimacy with God. On the day of Pentecost, the sound of supernatural wind was accompanied by the sign of supernatural fire. In the Old Testament, fire indicated that God was present. The Bible says our God is a consuming fire. Abraham saw God as a fire walking between the pieces of the covenant sacrifice. Moses saw God in a burning bush. God descended on Mount Sinai in a cloud of fire and delivered the law. Holy fire fell from heaven and it burned on the altar in the tabernacle and then in the temple, and the priests were charged with carefully tending that holy fire and making sure that it never went out. God stood in the midst of the camp of Israel in the wilderness in a pillar of fire on Mount Carmel. God humiliated the prophets of Baal by sending fire from heaven. John the Baptist talked about Jesus. He said he will baptize his followers with the Holy Ghost and with fire. But listen. My friend Doris from Puerto Rico, she said, look what happened. Look what happened. Something new happened on Pentecost. At Mount Sinai, there was one fire. And everyone saw it, but nobody was allowed to touch it. In fact, God warned them, don't come near the mountain. If you set foot on it, you will die. And in fact, 3,000 people did die at the end of the day because they worshiped a golden calf while God's fire was on the mountain. Nobody could touch the fire. the holy fire from heaven that was on the altar, except for the priest. There was fire, but nobody could touch it. But look what happened on the day of Pentecost. The fire divided and it touched every one of them. What was new at Pentecost? Every individual believer had his, her, or her own personal encounter with the awesome, beautiful, overwhelming, glorious presence of God. At Mount Sinai, everybody but Moses was a spectator, but in the upper room, everybody was a participant in the fire of God. Beloved, can I tell you one primary purpose of being filled with the Holy Spirit is to experience intimacy with God. It's to have our own personal experience. Listen, the spirituality of the New Testament is not something we watch from a seat. It's something we participate in. God is not just someone I believe in with my mind. God is someone that I experience inside of me. I feel him. Before he returned to the Father, Jesus talked about it. Jesus said that he would send the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit would be in us. And he said that the Holy Spirit inside of us would be a comforting presence. Jesus promised we won't suffer from feelings of rejection or neglect or abandonment or insecurity or fear. He promised we won't feel orphaned or alone in the world. The Holy Spirit is a comforting presence that gives us inner peace and security inside. Jesus said the Holy Spirit inside of us is a relationship fortifying presence. He promised that when the Holy Spirit comes inside of us, we will know that we belong to God and that he belongs to us. The Holy Spirit pours the love of God lavishly into our hearts. We know that we're loved, and that makes us secure and satisfied and fulfilled. Jesus said the Holy Spirit inside of us would be an encouraging presence, a strengthening presence. We live in confidence, not in fear. Jesus said the Holy Spirit inside of us would be a guiding presence. I don't know about you, but the more of life I live, one of the most precious things to me is to know what to do, what decision to make. And the Holy Spirit inside me, he leads me, he guides me. My first experience with the Holy Spirit happened when I was 8 years old. During the charismatic renewal of the 1970s, someone invited my mom to a little Pentecostal church where revival was going on. My mom, that morning, the first morning she went, she received Jesus Christ as her Savior, and she was baptized in the Holy Spirit. That was on a Sunday morning. 2 days later, my mom took my sister and me back to that little church. We would have gone the next day. They had church 6 days a week. Only on Mondays was the church dark, but they were in revival. You got to take one day of rest, 6 days a week. So we went on Tuesday night. I remember, my wife says I tell this story too much. I'm sorry. It's my testimony. It's what happened to me. I remember the service had already started when we walked through the back door. And I remember the thought that went through my head is, this must be what heaven sounds like, because it is so joyful. That night after the service, I was alone in my bed, and I just began worshiping the Lord. I just began saying, I love you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Suddenly, the presence of the Lord was in my bedroom. It was like a very warm, heavy weight pushing down on me hard. But I wasn't afraid. It was beautiful. In fact, it was so beautiful, I didn't want it to go away. I was afraid that if I moved, it might leave, and I didn't want it to leave, so I laid there very, very still. And as I was worshiping the Lord, all of a sudden I started worshiping him in a new language that I had never learned before. I want to tell you, I did not hear the sound of a tornadic wind. There was not a flame of fire on my head, but I will testify to you that in that moment, the presence of God came to me, and I have felt him with me every day of my life since then. That was 44 years ago, and God has been with me. There has not been a day. I'm sure there's been a few days he hasn't been happy with me, but he has always, always been with me. What happens when we are filled with the Holy Spirit? We have a new experience of intimacy with God. A second thing, when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we experience a change of heart. When we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we experience a change of heart. Another purpose of being filled with the Holy Spirit is a radical transformation in our inner nature and in our moral character. This is an important point about the Feast of Pentecost. Our friend Rabbi Grant Barry is going to talk more about it tonight. But by Jesus' day, the Feast of Pentecost had become a celebration of the giving of the law on Mount Sinai. According to the rabbis, it was on the day of Pentecost that Moses received the law on Mount Sinai. When Israel received the law, they entered into a covenant with God as a nation. But what happened? Look what happened, Doris would say. On the very same day that they received the law, they broke it. While God was still writing in a cloud of fire with his own finger on a tablet of stone, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me," the children of Israel were making a golden calf down below. You see, the problem with the law is not that the law is broken. The problem with the law is that we're broken by sin and we can't keep it. Through the prophets Ezekiel and Jeremiah, God said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make a new covenant. God said, I will put my law within them. I will write it on their hearts. I will put the fear of me inside of them. They will not turn from me. I will remove their heart of stone, and I will give them a new heart of flesh. Listen to what the prophets wrote. I will put my spirit within you, and I will cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my laws. Just 7 weeks prior, in the very same upper room, Jesus shared the Last Supper with the disciples, and he said to them, my blood is the grounds of the new covenant. Now, listen to this. On the day of Pentecost, when the Jewish people were celebrating the inauguration of the old covenant, God inaugurated the new covenant by sending the gift of the Holy Spirit to his church. That's good right there. What does being filled with the Spirit do? Being filled with the Spirit gives us a new disposition towards God's law. One messianic rabbi points out that it says, Luke says that they were sitting in the house when the Holy Spirit came. Jewish people stood up to pray and they sat down to study the scripture. And so he believes that what they were doing is that they were studying the Torah, they were studying the law at the precise moment that God sent the Holy Spirit. And when the Spirit arrives, he changes our relationship to the law. Rather than trying to please God in our own strength, rather than trying to obey him in our own strength because we're afraid of facing his wrath, we instinctively keep the law because we love him. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. St. John wrote, this is love for God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not a burden on us. Beloved, listen, when we're in love with Jesus and we're full of the Holy Spirit, obeying God is not a duty, it's not a drudgery, it's not a task. The Holy Spirit inside us makes us want to do what's right, and He gives us the strength to do what's right. Can I tell you, it's alarming when believers support things that the Word of God identifies as sin. It's alarming when believers contend for their right, their freedom to go on sinning, when they condone sin, when they give their consent to sin in society. That means they need an experience with the Holy Spirit. We're not under the letter of the law, but the Holy Spirit helps us to live in such a way that we fulfill all the righteousness of the law just like Jesus did. Our conduct honors the spirit of the law, reverencing God and loving our fellow man just like Jesus did. Listen to this. On Mount Sinai, Israel received the Torah, the teaching. But on the day of Pentecost, the church received the teacher who is always with us, inside of us, to help us do what God wants us to do. What does being filled with the Spirit do for us? It gives us a new love for others, starting with our fellow believers. The Bible says that at the foot of Mount Sinai, there was a mixed multitude. There were Egyptians and Israelites there together at the foot of Mount Sinai. And when the covenant came, it galvanized them into one people of God. On the day of Pentecost, there was a mixed multitude of people in the upper room and out on the streets. And when the Spirit came, it galvanized them. The Spirit of God broke down barriers, and it brought people together from all different countries of the world, different cultures, different skin colors, different languages. The Holy Spirit's still doing that today, right here at Harvest Time Church. Thank you for that golf clap. Can I tell you, one of the things I love about our little church is that God has gathered us together from all different walks of life, from all different backgrounds, from all different countries of the world, and all different parts of our country. God has brought us together, and He's made us into one family. Recently, I met someone who's new to our HTC family, and she said, Pastor Glenn, the first time that I came in here and saw all the different people, she said, I knew that this is what heaven is going to be like. What happens when we're filled with the Holy Spirit? We have a new experience of intimacy with God. We experience a change of heart. And one more thought on Pentecost Sunday. When we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we're equipped for a new mission. When we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we're equipped with a new mission. Worship team, you can kind of help me finish up. One purpose of being filled with the Holy Spirit is intimacy with God. Another purpose is a radical transformation inside. One more purpose we can talk about today. The purpose of being filled with the Spirit is to equip us for the mission of telling others about Jesus. It's no coincidence that God poured out His Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost when they were celebrating the first fruits of the wheat harvest. First fruits are a hopeful, joyful time. It's an indication that a huge harvest is going to follow. Jesus called this era in which we live the era of the Spirit and the era of global harvest. Beloved, listen, it's harvest time all over the world. There are many tools the Holy Spirit gives us for the mission, but I'm going to talk about just two and we're done. Two tools He gives us and we're done. The first of all, the Holy Spirit equips us to reach people with divinely inspired speech. He equips us to reach people with divinely inspired speech. When God met Moses on Mount Sinai, there was the blast of a trumpet, there was a fiery cloud, and in the English Bible it says there was thunder. Do you know what it says in Hebrew? It says there were voices. There was a blast of a trumpet, a fiery cloud, and voices is what it says in Hebrew. You know, in the ministry of Jesus, there was an occasion where a voice spoke from heaven. And some people heard the voice and others thought they heard thunder. On the day of Pentecost, there was a blast of a windstorm, a mighty rushing wind. There was fire from heaven and there was voices. On Pentecost, a crowd was drawn together when they heard the sound of the believers' voices. The believers began to speak in languages they never heard or learned before. Can I tell you that one of the resources that the Holy Spirit gives us for our mission is tongues, the ability to speak in unknown languages. On that first night I encountered the Holy Spirit, I received that gift. And many of us here at Harvest Time Church have received it as well. St. Paul talks about the many benefits of tongues in 1 Corinthians. But I want you to listen to this. We're almost done. Listen. On the day of Pentecost, God had a very specific purpose in the tongues. The crowd of spectators heard Galileans praising God in their various native languages. Luke lists 15 different languages. I believe the list is representative. I believe that there were even more, but he's just giving us a smattering. Arabic, Chaldean, Farsi, Dari, Turkish, Circassian, Masri, Kurdish, Latin, and on the list went. Now, this is interesting. Think. Put on your thinking cap for 1 minute and we're done. Listen. Greek was the language of business across the entire Roman Empire. Much like English today, just about anywhere you go in the world today, you can find signs in English. You can find people who speak English. If you speak English, you can go just about anywhere. And that's the way it was in the Roman Empire, even more so. You couldn't do business unless you spoke Greek. Now, I know that most of the apostles were from backwater Galilee, but even there, they were small business owners. Even there, they were professionals. They spoke Greek, and they could have praised God in Greek, and everybody in the streets could have understood them, but God chose to do something different. Listen, this will bless you. God chose to speak in the various native languages of the listeners' childhood homes. God chose to speak to each one in his or her own heart language. See, there's something about communicating with someone in our native language. There's something about communicating in the language of our birth, the language of our childhood, of our toddler and formative years. There's something about it that opens up the heart. I was amazed in first service. I'm going to do it. How many of you in this service, English was not your first language? Lift up your hand high if English was not. Look at all the hands. English was not. Come on, give these folks a big hand. I'm hard enough to follow in English. If it's your first language, if it's your second language, even harder. There's something comforting about having a conversation in the language of our birth. We know that person understands us, that they feel us, they get us, they have the same experiences. One of my best friends in the world, best man on our wedding, John, from Warsaw, Poland. We met in seminary. John was born to a Ukrainian family within the borders of Poland. His first language was Ukrainian. And then in school, he learned Polish and Russian. And then in college, he learned German and French. He didn't learn English until he came to the United States to seminary. We were good buddies, and I remember riding along in the car with him. I'd be driving, and he would be practicing his English words. In Polish, they don't have the THS sound, and so it was a challenge for him. And so I'd be driving, and John would be in the passenger seat going, "Moms, moms, moms." It bothered him that whenever we went into a restaurant, he would ask for a Coke, and the waitress would do a double take. I said, "John, it's quick. Coke, 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 Coke." And so we'd be driving along in the car, and he'd be going, "Coke, Coke." And I remember one day when studies were especially intense, he just put his hands on his head and he said to me, "I would give anything to have a conversation with somebody in my own language, to just be able to sit back and relax and not have to think so hard about everything that I was saying." Beloved, listen, listen, listen. May God give you grace. This is really good preaching right here. I'm enjoying my own cooking just right now. Listen, listen. One of the things, one of the ways the Holy Spirit equips us is he divinely enables us to speak in people's heart languages. He anoints us to speak prophetically in a way that opens up people's hearts. He guides the choice of our words. He guides the things that we talk about so that it has a major impact on the people listening to us. We don't even realize it, but under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, God is speaking through us directly into someone's situation. In fact, so many times I've had it happen, you have too, without even knowing it. The Holy Spirit anoints our lips and we speak out things in the very words that someone had prayed them to the Lord earlier, or we speak something that's the deepest whisper of their heart. God anoints us to speak to people in their own heart language. So many times people come to me after services and they say, "Pastor Glenn, that word was just for me." And the various people that approach me, they're from radically different backgrounds and they have different challenges in their life going on. And I know that it has absolutely nothing to do with me. It's the work of the Holy Spirit speaking individually to each person in the room in his or her own heart language. Here's an awesome thought for you. When I travel through Asia, oh, the people, the masses and masses and masses of people, I look at them and I say, "God, how could you be big enough to know every one of them by name?" But here's the amazing thing. Pentecost tells us that God speaks the heart language of every single person on this planet. And he's able to anoint our lips to speak to them in a way that resonates with their heart and opens it to receive Jesus. Equipment, what equipment? So many things we could say. One more thing, and I'll be done. The Holy Spirit equips us with overflowing joy for the mission. The infilling, listen to me. The infilling of the Holy Spirit, it is sometimes an awesome, overwhelming, it is a power experience, but it isn't spooky. It isn't scary. It's a joyful experience. And when you have it, your heart overflows with joy. To the onlookers in Jerusalem, the 120 appeared to be drunk. They were laughing loudly. They were singing loudly. They were talking loudly. St. Paul makes the same comparison between drunkenness and being filled with the Holy Spirit. He says, don't be drunk with wine, which only leads to trouble. He said, instead, be continuously filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, in spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart, always giving thanks to God for everything through Jesus the Son. When I was a kid, our whole family used to get together for the holidays. And I came from a big family of drinkers, y'all. I don't drink at all. My wife does not drink. I don't believe it's a sin to take a drink, but it's absolutely a sin to get drunk. And the best way we know to avoid getting drunk is not to take a drink. Hello? I tell my kids, listen, it's not a sin to take a drink, but it's a sin to get drunk. And listen, with your family history, you just don't want to open the door, all right? We have alcoholism major on both sides of our family. In fact, I bet every family in here does. My family used to get together, and as the day wore on, the liquor would start flowing. And we had a guy in our family. I'm told he's not a blood relative, for which I'm thankful. We have a guy that we call Crazy Uncle Gene. He was creepy. And inevitably, when the liquor had flowed enough, Uncle Gene would get out his accordion and they'd all start singing, "Roll out the barrel and we'll have a barrel of fun." Can I tell you, that was the atmosphere in the upper room. It was overflowing with the joy of the Lord. Look at the content of their speech. The spectator said, in our own heart languages, in our own native languages, they're telling us how wonderful God is and the wonderful things that He does. Beloved, listen to me. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, your heart overflows with joy and your mouth overflows with joyful praise to God, and you can't help telling people how wonderful God is and the wonderful things He has done. And look at the fruit of joyful praise. It draws people. It attracts them. It opens their hearts to receive. Joyful praise convicts people and it convinces them. At the end of the day at Mount Sinai, 3,000 people were dead. But at the end of the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter, "What must we do to be saved?" And Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." This promise is for you, and it's for your children, and it's for all who are far off in Greenwich, Connecticut, on Pentecost Sunday, 2019, who will believe. You listen to me. The experience of the Holy Spirit did not die with the apostles or the first century church. There's a promise in the Word of God that said, this is for all who are far off, who will believe on Jesus. What happens when we experience the Holy Spirit? We have a powerful, intimate encounter with God. We have a powerful inner transformation, and we receive powerful equipment for our mission. Would you stand on your feet? Give Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, a big praise in this place today. Oh, come on, give Him a good praise. Come on, you can do better than that. Give Him a good praise. Come on, we're going to invite the Holy Spirit to come. I want you to lift up your faces, lift up your hands. There's only one requirement to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and that's that you're empty. That's the only requirement, that you're empty so you can be filled with Him. We lift up your faces, lift up your hands. There's an ancient prayer of the church. It's three words: come, Holy Spirit. Would you say that with me? Come, Holy Spirit. Come on, would you say it again? Come, Holy Spirit. Come on, say it again. Come, Holy Spirit. Say it again with me. Come, Holy Spirit. Come on, lift up your voice. Sing, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. Lift up your voice, Holy Spirit. Sing, let us become aware. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, wind of heaven. Come, fire of God.
Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Come on, just worship him for one moment, would you, church? Would you worship him? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, lift up your voice. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Shorea malea monea la mamasi. Toyandara baga sete ropa pola ba 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 ba. Shia tara baga si. No sende ala bogere ba 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 sete ro karabaga sete hamala mama. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, would you just say thank you, Jesus? Thank you, Jesus. 20 years after the day of Pentecost, St. Paul arrived in the city of Ephesus. He found a little group of disciples there. And he asked them, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? They hadn't even heard that such an experience with the Holy Spirit was possible. Paul laid his hands and he prayed on them, and they received the beautiful infilling of the Holy Spirit, and God anointed their lips to speak in other tongues. I ask you the same question this morning. Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed on Jesus? Have you had a Pentecostal encounter that has brought you into a new experience of intimacy with the Father? Have you had a Pentecostal encounter that has caused an inner transformation? Have you had a Pentecostal encounter that has equipped you with heart language and with joy for the mission? I'm going to invite four groups of people to the altar. First of all, I'm going to invite the prayer teams. I need all of our prayer teams, all of our pastors in the room, any of our board members, any of their wives, any of our praying folks. I need you to come, just line right up across the front here, all the way across the front. I need some help here in the middle as well. Thank you, Rosie. Come down if you would, please. Thank you, Jesus. Now, prayer teams, I forgot to tell everybody in the first service. So just wait to minister. I'm gonna lead everybody in a response, and then I'll. They were such prayer animals in the first service that they just went for it, which is good. But I'm gonna let you go for it. But I'll give you the signal when. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Three groups of people I'm going to invite. First of all, if you have never had the kind of experience that I'm describing to you from the book of Acts, if you've never had a Pentecostal encounter with the Holy Spirit where you've been filled with the presence of God, and it happens differently. I didn't hear wind. I didn't see a flame of fire, but I knew that God was with me in that moment. If you've never had that kind of experience and you want that kind of experience, in just one moment, I'm going to invite you to come, and I want you to just stand right in the center, right? When you come down, come all the way forward, and I want you to stand right in the center. There may be someone here today, and you've had an experience like that, but it didn't remain with you. Maybe you had a real encounter with the Holy Spirit, with the presence of God. Maybe you spoke in tongues once or just a little bit, and it hasn't been an experience that has been ongoing, and you need a release, right? Paul said, be continually filled with the Holy Spirit, because not only do we leak, but I find that life just sucks the joy right out of us. And so maybe you had a brush, maybe you had an encounter, maybe it was powerful, maybe you've spoken in other tongues, but it hasn't been an abiding experience, and we're going to just pray for a full release for you this morning. If that's you, you're going to come over to this side of the altar. And maybe there's someone here today, and you could just use a little refreshing from the Holy Spirit this morning. You could just use, early this morning, a good friend of mine texted me, and he said, the Holy Spirit gives free refills. Isn't that awesome? You remember back in the days, those cheap diners, they'd charge you for every Coke you ordered, for every Coke that you ordered, they would charge you. And then TGI Fridays came along with free refills. Thank you, Jesus. The Holy Spirit gives free refills. And maybe you just like a refreshing touch from His presence this morning. So let me go over it. If this is a first-time encounter for you and you want to experience that, I'm going to invite you to come stand in the middle. If you've had an encounter but you need more, I want you to come to this side of the altar. And if you just need a fresh touch from the Holy Spirit, I want you to come to this side. We're going to sing that again. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. Altar teams, just wait for my signal before you start praying for people, all right? Would you come while we sing Holy Spirit? Church, sing with us, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence. All right, I want to ask everyone who's come, would you just step forward close to the front here, if you would, please? Would you just, everybody, just come in and step forward? Receiving the Holy Spirit is very easy. The only requirement for receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit is that we're empty. Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst, they shall be filled. The only requirement is that we just want to receive this good gift from the Lord. There's three steps to receiving the Holy Spirit, A, B, C. The first step is to ask. Jesus said, if you earthly fathers, being flawed as you are, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And so in just a moment, we're all going to ask him to give us the gift of the Holy Spirit, either for the first time, or we're going to ask him to give us the gift of the Holy Spirit fresh and new today. A, ask. B is believe. Jesus said, the one who believes in me, out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And the Bible says by this, Jesus was speaking about the Holy Spirit. So we're going to ask the Father to give us the gift of the Holy Spirit, and then we're going to believe that he will. Not because we're good, but because he is good. God doesn't give us the Holy Spirit because we're worthy of it. He gives us the Holy Spirit because he's good, and God wants to give you this gift today even more than you want to receive it. Ask, believe. C, confess. The Bible says, open your mouth and I will fill it. There comes a moment of faith. You know, when Jesus called Peter to come walk on the water, there was a moment of faith where Peter had to swing his leg out of the boat and his foot had to hit the surface of the water. And there's a moment of faith where we have to open our mouth and begin worshiping the Lord, but he's going to fill our mouth with a new language, a language we haven't learned or we've never heard before. And so we're going to do these three things. We're going to, together, we're going to ask for the Father to give us the Holy Spirit. We're going to believe, and then we're going to open our mouths and we're going to begin to worship him. We're going to come lay hands and pray on you. And when we do, we're going to invite you to begin worshiping the Lord. It's okay. You can start worshiping him in your native heart language, if it's English or whatever that is. But then we're going to ask you to take a step of faith, and the Holy Spirit's going to fill your mouth, and you're going to begin worshiping him in a language that you've never learned before. Are you ready to do this? Are you ready to receive the Holy Spirit? Come on, lift up your faces. Lift up your hands to Jesus. Would you just say the name of Jesus, would you? Come on, just say his lovely, beautiful name. Jesus, we worship you. Jesus, we magnify you. Jesus, we exalt you. Jesus, we honor you. Worthy, 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 Jesus. Come on, say that lovely name, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. It's the name above every name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Satan is defeated at the name of Jesus. All his strongholds in our life, God's pulling down some strongholds right now in the name of Jesus. They're all pulled down. Jesus. Come on, say that name. Jesus. Jesus, we worship you. Jesus, we praise you. Now lift up your faces, lift up your hands. Let's ask the Father to give us the gift of the Holy Spirit, or to give it to us again, to refresh us again. Come on, would you just say this? If you earthly fathers, being imperfect, if you know how to give good gifts, how much more will your heavenly Father give the gift of the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Come on, would you lift up your face, lift up your hands? Would you just say this with me? Father, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Give me the gift of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Now I want you to just believe. I want you to just believe that God wants to give this gift to you even more than you want to receive it. If you're a parent, you know Christmas is more exciting for you than it is for your kids. When you're a parent, you're more excited to give that gift and watch the joy on your children's face. He's a good father. He wants to give you this good gift. Just believe that. Would you just say, Father, I believe.
Father, I believe.
I am going to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. All right, prayer teams, I want you to go ahead and begin.